Welcome to the Beter Einders podcast. Usually I speak
Bliksem, is it in English today?
Usually I have Skalk van Heerden with me. Today I've got Skalk van Heerden with me. An organization like Beter Einders is not renowned for its robust English
Beter
vocabulary.
Einders.
Beter
Einders. We do have a Zulu name at least. It's Koko Sangempela.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so I think Afrikaners traditionally could be more in tune with our Afrikaner and Zulu side
exactly.
than with our English
side. We can do
But
this
welcome
in Zulu.
To all our English, specifically the English from England.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome to them. In the
and
just by the way, we've been struggling with the, what's that thing called in English?
Jingle.
And I have a little device that I play on my pregnant wife's tummy. So I think I have a jingle. Where is it? It's very strong and powerful, like Ikumi Boka van Schuster. Takes about 2 minutes
to get through the whole thing.
It's a little device that you turn, and then.
So all the people who said that we are low budget. All the people who said we are low budget. Yeah. Think again.
Yeah, exactly. That was a fantastic
intro,
and I think it's got French or something. In alcohol,
so
very strong.
So
why are we speaking English?
Whilst we're speaking English, let's just quickly say that we try to be positive at Beter Einders, and we are positive about South Africa.
Yes,
but. We are now.
You can't put a but. We positive but.
The other podcast that we're also releasing today is one about the new South African World Cup victory and our excitement about it. So if you want a positive podcast, that is the one that you need to go to.
Yeah, so I assume this won't be the positive podcast.
Exactly, because
okay.
we want to address the whole Angus Buchan, Afrikaners are the...
Chosen
people of God, made a covenant with him, etc. So we want to address that.
So even people that's not theological and don't know anything about covenants, they're even angry about this. Even if you've never worried, even if you're an atheist, there's no God, there's no covenant, then you're still angry that your imaginary God has an imaginary covenant with an imaginary tribe. So
Angus has finally reached the non-believers.
Yeah, so everyone's equally angry.
Yeah. Okay, so what is it? What
Angus,
did you say?
I just want to say it's not a type of cattle. My partner, Beeste Geboer.
So
we're talking about the farmer, the
Angus
potato
Buchan.
Farmer, not the Beeste.
Well, let me give some background. So who's Angus Buchan? Angus Buchan is a farmer turned famous evangelist of Faith Like Potatoes fame. I usually put him in the category of these evangelical Christian films like Facing the Giants and Faith Like Potatoes and Faith Like Facing Giant Potatoes. And
that's good.
And then he's got these big Mighty Men conferences where he...
That's English.
Yeah, you're
it's
mighty.
It's very inclusive because it's not machtige manne. Machtig manne, dit hoor ons ook baie in die huis elke dag.
Exactly, but it's
mighty
men. It might discriminate a little bit to various genders because it focuses on men. But look, who cares
anyway,
about it?
This is not about criticizing mighty men, and because I know, we don't want to start with the proviso, but now when you said mighty men, I do realize that there's a lot of people that's been totally changed and very grateful for Angus, for mighty men, blah blah blah. So
I'm not a cynic.
So we know are we angry at the whole thing, or do we want to talk about the specific
comment
that's now about the covenant stories?
Exactly.
Just to get your comment on that, does the whole thing irritate you, or
yes,
or do you give credit where it's due, and then there's a but?
The whole thing, it annoys me. But that's my own issues.
Even these people who had this life change,
no,
finding
so,
God.
So just shut up and let me finish. So, it's not my cup of tea. It's not my spirituality. Okay, but when I see a couple of thousand people praying, it's better than a couple of thousand people not praying. I've heard Angus. I haven't heard him. I've heard of people who went there and said that. He challenged a lot of white people there to really change and repent of many things. I know a guy who he shares human whom he shares a platform with called Afrika Mklope, who's a lovely chap, and I've met him a few times. So although it's not my thing, I've sort of avoided the conversation of on which side of Angus are you. So I can appreciate the fact that he's managed to pull a few people together, and if he helps them to be better husbands or better South Africans and better Christians, then go for it.
Okay. So what now? But now he's in the news. Funnily, is there a word like funnily enough? Funny enough?
If you want strangely to drink large amounts of alcohol at one point.
But then it will become funnily.
Then it's a funnily, yeah.
And there's also, of course, there's funnily, but the anadem is.
That's what I'm thinking about. Now.
Yeah. that is funny. What's interesting for me about Angus' story now is I never saw the actual thing that he said. I only saw the news about the apology. So I got the story from the side of, it started for me, he apologized about saying something. Before I knew what he said, I heard about the apology. So maybe you just want to tell us, what did he say, and what did he say sorry about?
So I'm still running on the fumes of a World Cup victory. And I see a bunch of my black friends, especially pastor friends, sending me this very short 3-minute clip where Angus Buchan says they're going to have a new stadium meeting, they're going to go to Loftus-Versfeld in February, and this time it's going to be focused on the Afrikaners, and there have only been two groups of people, two races, two tribes that have been able to strike up a covenant with God. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And they are the Jews and the Afrikaners. And what was so sad is that, I mean, my phone exploded with people responding to this kind of
thing. Before Angus apologized. So you said it and then it exploded.
Yeah.
So then came the apology.
Exactly. And Floyd Chivambu of the EFF and many other guys.
The prophet, yeah.
got onto it and just said, he had this very tragic tweet that really broke my heart a bit, because he just said, Africans, they will never love you.
Oh, yeah. You're not wanted.
You are not wanted.
Yeah, you're not.
This racist boor just said the following. Yeah.
So they couldn't get in on attacking the World Cup, or being not woke enough or rainbow enough. But now they have won.
And that's what...
The dividers now got a grip. They got a handle.
That's what's so frustrating, is that Angus just gave it to them on a plate, man.
He really gave it to them.
And now they've struggled to get into headlines. And Lawsy struggled, whatever. And now Angus is just making it easier for people to... But look, now we're picking on the people who are exploiting him. I do think what he said was highly inappropriate, foolish.
And wrong, yeah.
Wrong, silly, whatever adjective you want to use.
Yeah. I like how you went from highly inappropriate to foolish, because there's a big difference, and this one is more towards foolish. So then why did when did he change his mind? When did God show him that he was wrong? Did Ndlozi show him that he was wrong?
Well,
did he get to that insight by himself, or his friends counseled him? The media?
I don't know.
Is it documented? What brought him to insight so quickly? Because it's a huge theological shift that he made in these few days.
In a very short space.
So normally it takes years. So there must have been some very strong life-changing moment. Do you know of that, or did you just have the apology?
I think backlash, plus somebody told him that's bad theology. But what's interesting is that in his comment he says that that's a fact. He sounds quite convinced.
When he originally said it,
he said that there are only two people, two tribes, who went into a covenant with God, and those are the Jews and Afrikaners, and that's a fact, and that fact changed within a matter of hours.
So now he's sorry that he said that, and now he would say that is not factual.
Yeah, so the fact
changed.
Yeah. So he said that there are only two groups of people in the Bible. I think he said this. Maybe I'm reading something into this. But
what I got out of the apology is he said that there's only ever been two groups or nations or tribes that went into covenant with God, and that was Israel and the Afrikaners.
Yeah, but I think in the apology...
We are drinking coffee. That's what that ban was from your side.
So I think the apology, something like, you only have Gentiles and Jews. But okay, whatever. Let's quickly just delve into the theology, because you've got something to say about the apology. But before we get to the apology,
yeah,
let's just quickly tackle the theology behind it. So where I have a lot of sympathy for my black pastor friends is that they are trying their best on a daily basis to convince their flock that Christianity is not a white man's Western religion that came with colonialism.
Yeah, and now they're just saying my flock.
This just puts them back. This just gets them... that just puts them, I don't know...
Yeah, no, everything, they've been preaching love week in, week out, and then when Anger says this...
I really think... So I feel sorry for them, because this doesn't make their job any easier.
For me in the township, I also come across weekly almost where there's some more militant or critical voices that say, listen, this Christianity has always been a white man's religion that white people brought to Africa. And then I try and fight that by saying, listen, even me as Afrikaner, even me, I'm a Gentile. If you read the Bible, if you take it that way.
So let's get into that theology then. So the Bible, the New Testament. So I think that's my problem with Angus, is the fact that I think this guy is stuck in the Old Testament, where everything is about land, everything is about people and ethnicity. So even before this comment, he would make comments like, you know, God restored this land. And look, I mean, that's good. I'm passionate about this land as well.
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian, so I'm passionate about following Jesus as well. But that kind of language is Old Testament language. I'm not sure in the New Testament.
Augustine said all heresy starts with misappropriations of Old Testament theology. That's normally where we get into trouble, is we take one specific thing from the Old Testament and we try and transpose it into an era where it's not welcome or smart.
Interesting that you reference Augustine here.
Because he
was distraught.
That's huge for Afrikaner to say distraught. I just want a side comment. Distraught, that's beautiful.
I think it was 4th century there and thereabout, with the fall of the Roman Empire, because it was this very sophisticated civilization, and he and a lot of other people were very excited about it. And then he wrote his City of God, where he said, look, the whole idea of Christian thinking of the New Testament is that you don't put your hope in this land will be restored. The kingdom lines are not national borders. It's not an empire. You need to rethink ethnicity. You need to rethink country.
But Angus is not alone in that type of thinking among the Afrikaner, let's be honest.
Not that he is an Afrikaner, that is what's so bizarre.
Well, he wears the hat. Maybe we're discriminating against Englishish, Afrikanerish Boer types. English Boers, is there such a thing? Yeah, because he plays. Maar in geval, he's talking to a people that immediately resonates with that old idea. And myth that the Afrikaners somehow became the new Jews. And when you take that story to its full conclusion, you get to the point where you'll call other people animals, etc. That was some of the Israel, most harmful...
Israel vision is what they are called. Don't Google that.
So that theology is probably some of the most dangerous, destructive... ideas and theology that we had, and that's why our country went the way that it did. So to revive some of those harmful things makes me wonder about how deep do we understand what went wrong here, how much we repented of that, and how far you stay. If you're a recovering alcoholic, you look at a whiskey bottle with fear and respect, because you know what damage that thing can do. And as a Christian, I think we have to look at this type of new Israelite
rubbish,
X-Men Afrikaner story, not just as rubbish, but as dangerous rubbish.
Well, let's unpack that for a moment. So the first thing in terms of the covenant, to say that there have only been two people who made a covenant with God. There hasn't been anyone who made a covenant with God. That's just like factually wrong. God made a covenant with people. It's not as if humans or different tribes bargained with him.
That's like, there is a tribe that bargained with him.
No.
And it happened in Natal.
But that's paganism. I mean, this
you're going to make people very angry now. Luckily, okay. This podcast is in English, because the ones that will be most upset...
Okay, well, I mean, I'm willing to defend these points.
The point is,
God,
from the biblical perspective, God makes the move.
When that covenant is established, Abraham is asleep. Okay, it's God doing the thing. It's not like we are this righteous group or they were this righteous group, and now God said, okay, you guys are cute enough. I'm going to be your God.
So just for people who's most of our country is quite clued up with theology, although with what's in the media now, we might second guess that. But just to be very clear and spell out the basic for people that hasn't been to church in a while, the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the two parts. In the Old Testament, there was God made a covenant with Israel as a source of revelation. To bless the nations, not Israel, but plural. Israel was the gate to bless the nations. That's the Old Testament and Old Covenant. Mm. And then, spectacularly, if you're a believer and a Christian, God came to earth in the form of Christ, Jesus Christ, and Jesus introduced the new covenant. So what just makes me laugh is if a theologian and a pastor 2,000 years after Christ comes with covenant stories with tribes, he's a Christian. Jesus that he follows is the new covenant through his death, paying for us, inviting in everyone, Jew and Gentile, and that is the Jews and us, the Gentiles, which includes Zulus and Afrikaners. So that is the basic of belief in Jesus, is there's a new covenant.
It's the second lesson.
To jump back to Old Testament and say, let's forget about Jesus for a while and take the Old Covenant and the Afrikaner is the new Jew. That is so weird. Let me just put it out there. I'm Afrikaans, I'm a Christian. And not to be blown away with the covenant of Christ, if this is your thing. For those that's not into this, I'm sorry, but this is what gets everyone out. So our Uncle Angus isn't excited on the covenant of Jesus and the grace we get from the cross. And why would take that to be a tribe thing again? I think that's where you confuse things. And now I'm thinking, did you see the YouTube of the Facebook video of the colored guy that sings and he gets so excited and he says, this is not me, it's my body. And he starts dancing at the World Cup and he's like, oh, Here Jesus, oh, this is my body. Then he starts dancing, oh, die bokke, oh, Here Jesus, hulle speel vir die, you know, it's like, they play for the queen, but we play for the king. You know, so this guy mixes his Christ and the bokke into one merge of total excitement. And it's not me, my body is dancing. So here, this is my body, dude. Got so excited about Jesus and the bokke. That was just after Wales. I don't know what he's up to now. He's completely passed out.
So yeah, he's been raptured.
But he just merged playing for the king and Kolisi, not the kings from EP, the Agafal. He mixed his religion and his rugby seamlessly.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe what happened here is... people are passionate about their tribe and their culture, which is fine. Mm. They're passionate about their God, but then they have a theological lapse because my tribe only has relevance. Let's go back to Israel. They were blessed to bless. They were chosen to be the blessing to others. And that's also how I understand myself as an Afrikaner, not as a new Israelite, but as someone who I can be legitimate as an Afrikaner, and I mean that's why we're doing Beter Einders.
Mm.
But Beter Einders only makes sense. Afrikaners only make sense as we integrate with other tribes, as we're part of the bigger story. And there's a bigger blessing, a bigger invitation.
Mm.
So we must be very careful about where
me, myself, and my family starts and stops, where my language starts and stops, mm-hmm. and to realize that our neighbors, the us, is a much bigger group. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a typical pitfall, maybe, that we fall in. It's not just one guy that made this mistake and that has to repent. Maybe we all have to almost weekly repent, not of saying this, but of living in a way that shows that we think we as in a small type of we, not all of us, are God's chosen people. But the amazing thing is, if you're a believer, is that Christ died for everyone.
Mm.
So if you're not into it, fine, you're right.
But it's
it, but it's so Angus misses the very basics of his own faith.
And Paul is so annoying because he repeats it the whole time.
Yeah, Paul is the Bible guy, man.
Yeah. I'm not talking about the guy who runs the cafe on the corner. No. I'm talking about Paul.
That's anyways Paul.
Paul, the Apostle Paul. I mean, God shows no favoritism. I mean, that's what the whole New Testament is pretty much about. And when you get baptized, you're in this new community that is not Galatians 3:28. Neither Jew nor Gentile, neither
male or female.
I mean, it's
slave or free.
It's very, very silly, I think, to do that. Plus, it doesn't matter from which, I want to say, Christian tradition you are. We are what you call substitutional theologians. In other words, we believe that the church, as a body, the big thing, substituted the people of Israel. And that's what's going on now. And very few people actually dispute that. So I find it silly. That's the one thing. The other thing that I just quickly want to say in terms of bad theology. So to some of our black friends who are perplexed at how we got here, in 16 December, I'm not sure what the date was.
Oh, we got here by boat.
18 something something. The Afrikaners were in a pickle. The Zulus were ready. They were there in Northern Natal, close to modern day Dundee, and they were in trouble, and they formed that lager with the wagons, and the Zulus were approaching, and then Swadl Selier, who was the reverend at that stage, he said, okay, we'll make a covenant. If you deliver us, if we
kill the Zulus.
If we kill the Zulus
and they don't kill us,
then our descendants and us will always remember this day and serve you, etc., etc. So that's where this thing comes in. And later on, especially with Afrikaner nationalism, I think immediately in the aftermath, it wasn't such a big deal. But with Afrikaner nationalism, they really embraced this. And the way that they package the Afrikaner story is one where, first of all, we are these refugees running from
oppression,
Europe, from the French
persecution.
From persecution. And because of our faith, because we are these good Protestant Christians, and now we have to flee. Now that is, they are trying to imitate something that is
which we know very
that,
well.
that you can find in the Bible. Then you've got this big move, and they settle here, and eventually they are again persecuted. It's this 40 years in the wilderness type of imagery that is conjured up. And then we've got a big thing in Afrikaner thinking, in Afrikaner history, called the Groot Trek, the big move, the big move, I guess, and trick. This is probably the English, and that is supposed to imitate or mimic the Exodus moment. Yeah. All right, so now we are going from
through,
oppression
to the promised land.
The Pharaoh probably being
the
English. No, the Pharaoh
so
being the English,
though.
And the promised land.
The
being,
promised land of milk and honey.
Yeah,
is the start.
You thought Bloemfontein is going to be that, and that we move up, but then. As God is traveling with us and we are going through the wilderness,
we meet Egyptians.
We meet local tribes, the Canaanites, the Philistines, or whatever.
Yeah.
And God covers us in this. And even though there are giants living in this, in the land, the Zulus or whatever, God delivers us because we are His people, and He's going to make a great nation out of us.
For someone that's just starting to listen now, he's playing a game. He's not really saying God is going to deliver us. Yeah.
Well,
he's saying what they thought.
The point is, the Afrikaner nationalists were very clever in how they imitate this thing.
Yeah.
So if you think that you are a chosen people, if you think that you are a God's chosen people, and these other people are standing between God and... You understand what I'm saying?
God's promise for us.
And God's promise for us. Then you are willing to go to ridiculous lengths at sorting them out.
So let me just add, it's easy now to pick on Angus because he made a mistake and he apologized. So when you apologize, then it's now on the table. Everyone knows that he made a mistake. So it's easy in a way to pick on him. But again, as I say, he's representing a more common type of thinking. And when you, if you want to dig into this type of thinking, you must dig into Gelofte Dag, 16 December. You're going to have a lot more podcasts if you get into that with Afrikaners. And that idea that it was God who helped us, that's a very complex story. And we can't move forward, I think, in this country without figuring out the balance between Gelofte Dag and Day of Reconciliation.
Mm.
What happens if God's will is for the Zulus to be inside the lager and not on the outside?
I hope it makes sense because we are all over the place. So what eventually happened at Bloedrivier is that the story, again, this is colored by Afrikaner nationalism, is that over 1,000 Zulus were killed and zero Afrikaners died in that battle.
Yeah. See Johan Stegman's good art about this.
Yeah, if you want to check that out. And this is just a clear sign that God was with the Afrikaner and is with the Afrikaner.
Mm.
And then later on, I'm actually not quite sure about the details, but they built a church in Pietermaritzburg as sort of the first payback for being delivered covenant. And then you have the Voortrekker Monument. And on the 16th of December, you've got thousands of Afrikaners going there
to pay homage to God.
For delivering us from the enemy.
The problem is bigger than Angus. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So the bad theology behind that is, first of all, if you know anything about Jesus and how you should pray, the one thing that you do not do is to say, God, if you do this and this, then we will serve you. That is like exactly the opposite of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane that says, not my will be done, but your will be done. Or think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who says that God is king, I will not bow to your God. And even if he doesn't save us from this furnace, we will still worship him. That is good religion.
Yeah.
To and bargain with God and to hold him ransom or something, just from a theological perspective. I mean, that's just not good theology.
Yeah, and this Jesus is kind of the main figure in Christianity.
Yeah, so
if you want to learn about the good theology, then Jesus is a good place to start.
Yeah,
to actually take his word serious.
It's almost as if the Afrikaners also got stuck in the Old Testament and replacing the Afrikaners with the Jews. And
if you read Jesus' comments about Samaritans, Samaritane,
mm.
that was the other, that was the Zulu of the time where you weren't supposed to mix. So if you're a Christian, that means Jesus is your guy. Go and read what he says about Samaritans. And then that gives you a good idea of how we should look at what worldview we should have today.
I want to summarize a bit. Becoming
labored. I just want to make a comment on the idea that when Angus apologized.
I'm gonna get to that. I just want to summarize, and then we can end with that. Yeah. The summary is that that comment is theologically stupid, okay, and it is also harmful, and given the history in this country and given what this type of thinking has done, this is not a trivial matter. This is something that we need to rethink very quickly, and it's harmful, it's bad thinking, and I've got a lot of sympathy for my black pastor friends who have been moved back by a few days.
Listen, if we can apologize for apartheid, we can also apologize for what Angus said.
I guess.
And we can own that as part of his tribe. Well, he's English, but he's white. So I can even say, I'm sorry for this crap that went out again, hurting again. So I'm sorry for this nonsense that went out again.
It's
stupid. And just to keep it real, like I said earlier, maybe weekly through my actions, I reveal the same type of attitude.
Okay.
The apology, as always, is a big one and a personal one. But it's dumb and it's hurtful, and I wish it never happened.
Yeah, it really sucks, especially now when South Africans are getting together and a little bit excited about Pelisi and the team. The timing is just horrible. So I share those sentiments. Let's quickly get to the apology. But what's bugging?
A jingle idea, Angus Bally Kulisi, is it?
Let's cut that out of the podcast.
When Angus said sorry, for most people, it's too late. They don't care that he's sorry. He already, for them, revealed his heart and his theology, and they think, no, no, you are sorry that you were caught. You're sorry for the effects of what you said. But they don't believe the sorry. And before I'm too harsh on them being bad Christians that can't forgive, I think of Panyaza Lesufi with his classic showing with what glasses he looks at the world, dissing the Oaks who actually wore the new South African flag, saying, what is the old flag doing at the stadium? Mm. That tweet of his or comment did so much harm for our country again. And then it was revealed that it was a new flag. And then Panyaza is also like, oh, I'm sorry. But then people again says, listen, Panyaza, you're not sorry, dude. You just revealed who you are. And we won't accept your sorry because you go looking for the old flag in the even if there's a new flag every day of your life. So this is just the sum product of who you are. So you're sorry that you were caught. You're sorry for making a mistake, a technical error this time. But this is who you are. So you're sorry now. And convincing. So that's with Panyaza Lesufi.
Sure.
Okay, and well, then the same people do the same with Umenga. So it also opens a new one is if someone's sorry, should they be forgiven? And that's a good question generally in this country. Or do they have to prove how sorry they are? Or at least express genuine remorse saying that I'm sorry about what happened now, but I'm also sorry for everything before that I did and thought wrong. That led to me making this type of mistake. Because the mistake isn't in isolation. It's a result of weeks and years of thinking. So am I sorry for all of that? Or am I sorry about the technical error? And that's where it's interesting. Some people forgive him Angus. Say, apologize, we forgive him. What a big man to apologize. Takes a big man to apologize. But then with Panyaza Lesufi, they won't say, takes a big man to apologize, or vice versa. Mm. Some people said, oh, big man, Lesufi apologized. At least he owned up, but then they won't say the same about Umengas. So I find it very interesting that our theology of forgiveness also suits our particular agenda where,
depending on
which one you forgive or not.
Yeah. I'm not as harsh as you. I'm not sure I agree with everything.
But I'm not saying it's my thought. I'm just saying that's the sentiment.
Fair
so
enough,
I can forgive Panyaza and Umengas.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that your behavior has consequences regardless.
So in terms of the consequences, I think we can elaborate on this. And this podcast is getting a little bit too long. But the one thing that I've noticed is that I'm on WhatsApp groups and Facebook groups and all sorts of groups where when Lesufi said all South African flag at the
stop
rugby.
Stop hurting us.
Stop hurting us. Then I saw that on all of those platforms. And I saw the people reacting to it. When he apologized, I didn't see any of that. So this group managed to give the one side and to not correct it. And that suited them and that just made them a little bit more angry. Likewise, with Angus as well. You know, you've got the comment, but the apology is not going to go out. And you are you've caused a lot of damage. You've really caused a lot of damage. So even if we say, you know what, we forgive you. We need to say that, man. There are consequences.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want to feel uneasy to pick on people that do wrong things. And and for me, if we talk about Umengas or about Lesufi, we have to bring it home in terms of how we deal with failure, repentance, apologies. Because Angus is not just the what's your funny surname of the guy with the difficult surname? You always quote him, but I think you'll know the surname. But his quote says, "Evil is not there or here, but
Alexander Solzhenitsyn."
The line of good and evil goes through each of our own hearts, and I love that because the good and evil goes through Angus' heart, goes through my heart, your heart, goes through Panyaza Lesufi's heart. So we've got both in us, and we must help each other. It's bloody difficult.
Let's try and wrap this up. So
the 16th, please make sense out of this.
16th of December is Gelofte Dag, also called Day of Reconciliation.
Well, it is Day of Reconciliation, used to be called Gelofte Dag.
Yeah. It depends, again, which side of the fence you find yourself on. Now, Beter Einders, we're doing something stupid. What is it?
We're going to a township, Kameeldrift, where we have old friends. We go there often. It's not just a party trick. We're going into a very townshipy township. That means there's a lot of shacks, not RDP houses. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make a lager in the soccer field.
To try and imitate the lager of the Voortrekker.
But now this time, instead of shooting Zulus on the outside, this time the Zulus and us, there's a Zulu on my stoop, there's a Zulu in my lager. So, and Zimbabweans and whoever is there, we're going to all be mixed inside the lager, having a braai, to try and show the something about, if you wanted to put it in Christian terms, the new covenant of Christ, where everyone is welcome and brothers in a as the human race. And that's the new symbol of the lager on 16 December in Kameeldrift in Pretoria. So that's exciting. I'm so happy that I don't have to shoot people.
Yeah.
And that I can braai with them inside the lager. And there will be might be Castle Lager on the day.
And it's symbolic for something. And it's trying to correct bad thinking. Perhaps.
Reconciliation. There's a day for that.
Yeah.
All right. Lekker.
Cool. So check that out. You guys are more than welcome to join us. We are not just specifying this to the covenant people of God or anything. Anybody who wants to come can come. If you're an atheist as well, you're more than welcome. And
let's try and drink. So chop and dope.
Yeah, it's going to happen on the 16th of December. And if you want to play a bit of soccer, whatever.
That's if you don't have money to be anywhere at the coast where people would go that's rational with money in their credit card.
No, come to our lager. It's just in north
Pretoria.
It's
over
just
December.
North, it's just north of Pretoria. And if you want more information about that, you can just email us at axin@betereinders.co.za.
Yes.
And yeah, thanks for listening to this podcast. Well done if you managed to stay with us for 37 minutes.
Yeah, and if all of this makes you angry, Johan Erasmus, you can find him on Facebook through the Beter Einders page. Feel free to send him personalized messages.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay, cheers.